today on Real Radio.
Science can tell me how things work. They can't tell me why. What's the purpose of science? You can't answer that. I can. The purpose of science is to give glory to God. Amen. Don't get me wrong. You, genius, you can tell me how it works, and I appreciate it, and I want to know. Tell me how it works. When you're done, I'll tell you why.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About Heaven, Part 1, continues a series called Who Told You? Oftentimes, our doctrine is based on past experiences or outside influences, and in this series, we'll learn how to discern the voices of our day based on what Scripture reveals. We often use the word heaven to describe things that are beyond wonderful or of exceptional beauty or maybe even incredible delight. And to be in heaven is to say that we're in a state of bliss or nirvana. But what has God said about heaven? You know, the Bible speaks of heaven over 1,000 times. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that when we consider the heavens, which are the work of God's hands, we are to be mindful of Him. And when life is overwhelming, we can look up towards the moon and the stars and see His greatness. And now, continuing his lesson called Who Told You About Heaven, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I think God just said, you know what, I see something coming down the road in the future. I'm gonna create this thing. And I'm sure the angels went, what? I wonder what Adam did when he walked up and he said, what is that? That's a platypus. That is the freakiest thing on the planet. God does this stuff, and I'm way out of bounds on where I was going on this. But the next thing we want to look at is the fact of the celestial heavens. So God has made all that there is. How should that comfort us? Listen, what should be the result of the creation nature that we see at our immediate fingertips? Listen, church, it should be worship. Worship, what should be the overriding impact of this topic in our lives as we look at the various descriptions of the heavens? Christian is someone who must worship God. You'll either worship God or you're gonna go worship creation. It will be one or the other. You listen, for all of those who reject the worship of God, they fill the void and they worship creation. So for us, the believer, we should worship and praise God when we look at science, when we look at His creation, and as we look at the immediate heavens. Secondly, we look at the celestial heavens. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16:26, for all the gods of the nations are idols. You know, carved idols? We're studying them about them in Isaiah. But the Lord made the heavens. I mean, come on, look at this, idols. The Lord God Creator. Which one's yours? Who's yours? Which God is your God? You're going to have one or the other. One you carve with your own hands. See, I don't do that anymore. And I thought, you know, someone's going to think, I don't do that. I don't believe in the God of the Bible, but I don't have idols. And I thought about this. Inside this little piece of leather. Now, this is my wallet. Not big, right? It doesn't have to be big because I don't have cash ever. So watch this, okay? So this is here's my little debit card. Okay, so what does that have to do with anything? As a Christian, I can use this to my benefit. In fact, I can actually use this to make money if I'm smart enough. Are you with me? This doesn't have to abuse me. I can use it to my benefit. All depends on what I do with it. I'm either going to work for it or it's going to work for me. It's a choice I make, right? So as a believer, I have chosen to have it work for me. So what does that mean? Well, it means that I'm going to exercise this in a way that is good stewardship before God because God's watching. On the flip side, you would say, I don't have an idol in my life and I don't believe in your God and I don't have idols. I'm not a religious person. then listen, when life gets tough or you get scared or things press in or things begin to panic or something happens, what do? Wham! Listen, you buy something, you pay for something, you answer it this way, you respond by trusting in this. Listen, you can use this to your benefit, or listen, it actually subtly can use you in the sense that you start to trust in this. And listen, just a little tip, just a little bit of advice. When you begin to trust in this, this God will always take you into slavery. Idols will always take you into servitude. Okay, I may be ugly, but I'm not dumb. I am not going to use something that is not going to pay me back. This thing left on its own will do everything possible to destroy you. Because it's a modern day idol. If we make it. It can be your car. It can be your degree. It can be your influence. It can be your money. It can be your power. It can be whatever it is. Be very, very careful, church. There are the gods of the idols. They're carved out of human hands, but they can't do anything, nor have they created anything. In fact, they destroy. And God says, I'm the God who creates. I'm the God of the heavens. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. This is an awesome verse. Watch this. Catch this. Nehemiah 9, verse 6. You alone are the Lord, Yahweh. Yah, that's his name. You alone are Yahweh. You have made heaven, notice, the heaven of heavens with all their host. You've not only made the air on the other side of my nose, but you've made the starry sky. Look, he goes on, the earth and everything in it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. I don't know how that plays out. I know angels do. But how is it that even nature, in the book of Isaiah in the millennium, when Christ comes back and establishes his kingdom, the Bible says that the trees of the fields will clap their hands. You say, that's ridiculous. Trees don't have hands. Of course they don't have hands. But listen, when the wind blows, have you ever heard a tree clap? Have you noticed what it does to you, by the way, when a nice wind comes and hits? I have big sycamores in my backyard, and you know, those leaves can get that big. They're giant. And when the wind blows, man, they just sound, just the rustle of them causes you to look up. God says that creation, by whatever form, I don't get it, I don't understand that language, but God says creation worships him. So look, let's take a peek at some of these celestial wonders. Slide on the screen. Oh, it's almost too bright in the sanctuary, huh? This is from JPL, and I just want you to look at it. Obviously, this is a picture from a Jet Propulsion Laboratory. This is real. This is not cartoon. This is real. And the Bible says, again, remember, the heavens declare the glory of God. Next slide. Again, Pasadena, JPL. Isn't that awesome? Does that affect you at all? I don't know about you. It depends on where we're all at any given point in time. I look at that, and for some reason, in my twisted little brain, cartoon head, I think of two things immediately. Number one, I shouldn't have to worry about anything. If he can do that, I shouldn't worry about anything. Amen. Next thought I had was, to me, I could have lifted this. I could have showed you a piece of granite or marble that's been taken out of the center of the earth. You know, some of you have granite tables or marble tables. Have you ever got up really close and looked at them? Hello, I'm being sarcastic right now. It looks like the same architect and designer that made the incredible patterns in the marble and granite is the same one that did that. Mm-hmm. It's the same one. It's the same one. Let's look again. Next slide. Oh, man. This is real. This is not fake. This is from the Hubble. Now we got something even better than the Hubble. This new one's probably going to get the picture of God out there or something, but this is from the old Hubble. Remarkable. God at work. This is from, the next one is from Magellan, looking at the M43. This is real. God says, I did that. You like it? I did that. And I'm wondering about tomorrow. I'm all concerned about next Tuesday. And God says, will you just calm down and look at the heavens? I got it covered, Jack. Next one is another one from Pasadena, JPL. This is fun. You're getting ready for this one. Some of you already know where I'm going. You've already seen this. Listen, this is not a Christian. This is from JPL. X marks the spot for Milky Way formation. Wait, listen. X. See that? See that X? X marks the spot for Milky Way formation. You know, you and I live in the Milky Way. That's our home. We live kind of out on what it's called Orion's Arm, on the end of the Milky Way galaxy. We're on the end out there, very close to the end. That's where you're at. Next slide. This is us. Look at that. See those, the two wings? I forget which one you're at, but you're at near the end of one of those two wings. Next slide. So again, X marks the center. Okay, listen, X, the discovery of X, it's relatively new. The discovery of X is at the center of the Milky Way galaxy. Where, again, class, where do you live? You live in the Milky Way galaxy. What's the center of the Milky Way galaxy? They're calling it the X structure. The X structure. You want to see a real photograph of the X structure? Go. That's okay, this is us. This is not a joke. This is not a joke. Look it up later. Go to NASA, JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, Pasadena. Type in X structure, Milky Way galaxy, X structure. This is the center of our existence. This, they literally, when you go, I read it all this weekend, go and read it. They actually had a problem naming it the X structure. They said, we can't call it, it's just got to be called X structure. Is that an X?
Looks like a cross to me.
Listen, I hope you're thinking that's baloney. You need to go look. Listen, in fact, go ahead and leave it on the screen, you guys. Well, do you want to see the quote or do you want to keep looking at that? It doesn't matter. We'll give you both. You've seen this? Take a good look at this. 3, 2, 1. Okay, let's go to the quote. Astrophysicist Dr. Dustin Lang of Dunlap Institute in Toronto. The WISE, it's an engineering project. The WISE image of the Milky Way bulge shows that the X-shaped nature of the Milky Way bulge is self-evident and irrefutable. When you read it in its entirety, I thought, he didn't say anything more than that right there. It's like, what? Writing in a paper published this week in the Astronomical Journal, quote, the X-shape morphology of the bulge in itself and the fraction of bulge stars that comprise orbits within this structure has important implications regarding the history, I underline history, of the Milky Way and all other spiral galaxies in general. Professor Luke Davies of the International Center for Radio Astronomy Research said the data was reasonably compelling. You can clearly see the structure is there. Whether or not there is a true X-shaped structure at the center of the Milky Way is under consideration. And when I read that, I said, there is no way that there's an X-shaped structure in the center of the Milky Way galaxy. It's a perfect cross. I find that hilarious. But yet you can read this. Again, the next slide. In his book, God and the Astronomers, NASA astrophysicist and former director of the Goddard Space Center, Dr. Robert Jastrow, wrote, and I quote him, and you can see the quote on the screen, for the scientist who has lived by his faith and the power of reason, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance. He is about to conquer the highest peak. He pulls himself over the final rock. He's greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries. Oh, that's awesome. The heavens declare the glory of God. That's a keeper, man. You want to hang on to that one. That's awesome. The celestial heavens, friends, should lead you and I, like the atmosphere that's before our very nose, should lead us in worship to God. I'm going to go through a bunch of scriptures and then we're going to come to an end. Psalm chapter 8, verse 3. Listen, let this humble you. Let this wash over you. Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider your heavens and the work of your hands or your fingers and the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him? Isn't it awesome? As awesome as these things appear on this screen in the sanctuary, it's nothing compared to the reality of all. And God says, you're more important than all that. I love you more. God never says he loves stars. I love galaxies. God never says, oh, I love constellations. God says, I love you. He didn't die for those things. He died for you. You think you got, oh, I got problems. Let the one who is steering the Milky Way, and if that wasn't enough, stamp that cross right in the middle of it, tell you, I got you covered. Psalm 147, verse 4. Psalm 147, verse 4. He counts the number of the stars and he calls them by name. That's awesome. Job 38. At Job's expense, I'm sorry for Job, but God rebuked him so many times, but I love it because I learned so much from his classroom. Job 38, verse 31. God says to Job, can you direct the movement of the stars? We didn't even know, listen, Job's the oldest book in the Bible. We didn't even know that stars moved. We didn't know astrophysics, astromechanics, binding the cluster of the Pleiades. I didn't know the Pleiades were clustered, and yet then they have to be bound. No one can figure this one out. Oh, yeah, yes, we can, Pastor, you're wrong. It's bound by orbital powers, orbital mechanics. You didn't tell me nothing. Listen, science can tell me how things work. They can't tell me why. What's the purpose of science? You can't answer that. I can. The purpose of science is to give glory to God. That's its purpose. Don't get me wrong. You, genius, you can tell me how it works, and I appreciate that, and I want to know. Tell me how it works. When you're done, I'll tell you why. God speaks to Job and he says, or loosen the cords of Orion? Can you direct the constellations through the seasons or guide the bear, the constellation and her cubs across the heavens? Do you know the laws of the universe, Job? Can you use them to regulate the earth? Oldest book in the Bible says that the starry heavens around us regulates the earth. Then we find out that's exactly true. In fact, today we have a baptism down at the beach. You know why the time of the baptism is what it is? At what time? Because of high tide. We had to decide when to do our baptism because the moon, the stars regulate the earth. Is that awesome? I love it. Maybe it's me. I just love it. Isaiah 37, 16. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone, and all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Hebrews 1, verse 10. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Amen. Wow, we'll end with this. Regarding this magnificent creation that we see, there's coming a day. There's coming a day that in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, the creator, the master, astronomer, architect, designer, God, he's going to intervene again, ladies and gentlemen. And in Matthew 24, 29, the Bible says immediately after the tribulation of those days, after the 7-year tribulation period is over, what's going to happen, everybody? Look, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. That's the atmosphere. That's that celestial world. And the powers of the heavens That's a radical statement, church. The celestial and this immediate atmospheric heavens will be shaken. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. No one knows what that's going to be like. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, in the atmosphere. And then the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Wow, this is our God. So today, listen, as we get in future weekends into this study, it should prompt worship and praise. I'm going to ask the worship team to come out. But next week, we're going to be looking at some of these things. These are the questions asked predominantly, most questions asked. And we're going to, Lord willing, answer them. What's heaven going to be like? That's a good question. You can stand, by the way. What's heaven going to be like? Don't you want to know? What can we know about it? Questions are asked. Where will heaven be for all eternity? That's a good question. How old will we be in heaven? That's a great question. I believe the Bible answers that. Will we know each other in heaven? Somebody asked Dr. Ironside that, and he said, why would you be dumber here? Or why would you be dumber in heaven than you are here? Of course we're going to know one another in heaven. We're going to look into the question of what will we be doing in heaven? Someone asked the question, will my husband be in heaven? I don't know if your husband will be in heaven. And then the most question asked is, of course it's the most question asked, will my dog be in heaven? I don't know about your husband, but your dog will definitely be in heaven. I'm kidding. Just kidding. But listen, the question is, will you be in heaven? That's the question. Will you be in heaven? Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid the price for your sin and mine to wash us clean that we might, as it were, in a sense, get our heaven suit on. He bought it. He wants you to put it on. It's free, cost him everything. But by his death on the cross, he washed you clean that if you accept him and his offer of salvation, you'd have that eternal life. And you'll see face to face this God of the heavens. Let's worship him now. Let's not get our car out of the parking lot. You've got time. Let's worship this one who has made the heavens of the heavens. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, Who Told You About Heaven, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you can take comfort in the fact that the God who made the heavens can surely take care of you. Who Told You About Heaven, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, and the future of his church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And we would love for you to get your hands on a copy of the DVD set Who Told You About the End Times? Who Told You About the End Times is Pastor Jack's series that expounds on the doctrine of salvation, and we'd like to get that into your hands for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and get your very own copy of Who Told You About the End Times by Pastor Jack Hibbs for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. By the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has over 500 videos on YouTube? Lots of content available for you. Simply go to youtube.com and search Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Maybe you can watch a message or two that you might have missed. Now, there are weekly teachings, real life programs, special messages and events, intro clips to Christianity, really anything that Pastor Jack wants to share with us is available right there for you on YouTube. Don't forget to set your notifications up so that you can know when Pastor Jack has posted some new videos for you. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.